Should you get premarital counseling before or after getting engaged?
We'll discuss this and other questions from viewers today on Real Family Talk. Join us.
It's time for Real Family Talk, your questions answered. During this episode, we are answering questions from viewers like you. So here's our first question.
I was engaged to be married. My fiancé and I were only two sessions away from the end of our premarital counseling when he said he couldn't go through with the wedding. After knowing him for 5 years and dating for 2 years, I thought he was the right one. Although we disagreed about several things, and there was often a nagging feeling that he was not sharing his true feelings, I expected that we would eventually get over those hurdles. Now he's gone. I'm not sure I'm willing to take a chance on becoming emotionally vulnerable with another person again. I would appreciate your comments.
What you shared about the breakup of your relationship is very sad. Still, it isn't unusual. Sometimes one or both of the two people planning to marry may get cold feet or alarmed about something that was said in premarital counseling. What's said in conversation may sometimes trigger a childhood memory that's too big for a person to handle. Perhaps your fiancé experienced a moment in your discussion that was beyond his emotional capacity to manage.
You know, that's why we make a case for premarital counseling and premarital pre-engagement counseling,
that's correct.
We often call it. We feel that some people are uncomfortable asking their partner to participate in such an intense process prior to an engagement. But honestly, there should not be an engagement if you don't really know the person that you're proposing to or agreeing to spend the rest of your life with.
Couples are often reluctant to have pre-engagement or premarital counseling because they're afraid that it will cause a breakup, as happened with the viewer who wrote in. We often say that at best, premarital counseling helps you to discover your strengths and growth areas and give you tools to strengthen and enhance your future marriage. At best, this is Elaine, this is the way she likes to say it, it may help you decide that this relationship may not be the right one for you.
We fear that couples today are more interested in the fun and excitement of the proposal party and the wedding ceremony. They're in love with being in love. They're in love with the outward display of perceived romance and are often reluctant to delve deeply into the relationship to see if it really has a chance to survive and thrive amidst the inevitable challenges of marriage. But reluctance to deal with your real issues, pains, and hurts from childhood and previous relationships will surface after the honeymoon period and leave you wondering how you got yourself into this situation. So I really appreciate you, the viewer, asking about becoming emotionally vulnerable again in the future.
You know, at this point, you may want to consider a few sessions with a trusted Christian counselor who can help you manage the trauma this breakup has caused you. Also, remember God's promise in the book of Isaiah. Fear not, for I'm with you. Be not dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The truth of the matter is, this whole situation about pre-engagement and premarital often puts off people. The people start feeling antsy and not sure that this is what they want to do.
Yeah, and I imagine that perhaps a viewer or viewers might be asking, what exactly is that and what does it mean? And basically what we're saying is, take some time to go through an intentional process of asking important questions about the other person. So it's interesting to me that people would feel uncomfortable asking questions, but you're not uncomfortable proposing to someone or accepting a proposal from someone to share the rest of your life with them.
That's correct.
Without having answers to these questions.
That's right. And see what's important about this pre-engagement rather than premarital is that when you have premarital, you've already asked someone to marry you. And then your focus is on the wedding. So when we suggest pre-engagement, we're saying don't put that weight of the wedding on your back. In fact, give yourself an opportunity to relax and to go through these sessions and just talk through what you agree with, what you disagree with. Basically, what we're looking for is what things you have in common and what things you don't. We're looking for strengths and we're looking for growth areas. And those growth areas are very important for you to answer and figure out where you are. Someone once said that having pre-engagement is like opening the drawers of a cabinet or of a chest of drawers, you know, to see what's in there.
Yeah, to look at it before you purchase it, right?
Before you commit to
see if the drawers are working,
yes.
See if they fit well, yes. And all of that. And while there is no perfection, you know, there aren't any perfect people. This is not what we're talking about. And we'll speak about that a little later today. But we're saying get to really know this person,
yes.
To see and get to know yourself.
Get to know yourself.
With this person.
Yes.
And so, again, this viewer is concerned that she may never be willing to be vulnerable again. And what I would say to the viewer is take the time to heal from the hurt and the pain, because there is pain and there is hurt. There is a little trauma from a broken engagement. But do you see why we are so in favor of pre-engagement? Because while it is painful to break up a relationship, it's even more painful to break up an engagement.
That's right, because you've already put money down for the church and you've already put money down for a caterer and all of this. You probably have even...
And it's all been on Instagram and
yes,
Facebook.
Yes, and I was going to say, you probably have already ordered your invitations or stuff like that. And it makes it a lot more complicated. And what we're trying to do is simplify your life. Marriage is already challenging and difficult. And so what we want to do is take off some of those challenges and difficulty and pressure from you so that as you relate to your mate and your future mate, you can go in with your eyes wide open, knowing what's in each of these drawers and not be surprised because you just didn't have enough time to talk about it.
Would you say we're actually talking a little bit about a reality check?
That's exactly what we're saying.
Just, you know, reducing that what we call idealistic distortion.
Idealistic distortion.
That premarital couples or pre-engaged couples have where they're only looking at...
The things they have in common.
The things they have in common.
The things they have in common. And they think, we really love each other. This is never going to happen to us, so we're good. But what we're saying is, make sure. So it's a lot easier. It's a lot easier to break up before you get engaged than to do so after you get engaged. After a short break, we will continue with your questions answered. Stay with us.
On today's edition of Real Family Talk, we're answering viewers' questions. Here's the next question.
I'm 22. In my final year of university, I recently met a 20-year-old young woman who is 2 years behind me, pursuing a degree in the same program I'm in. We spent quite a bit of time together during the past few months, and I think she could be the one. Is there an age that is best for getting married? If so, what is it?
Regarding the ideal age to get married, while age alone may not be an indicator of readiness for marriage, age is one of the strongest predictors of marital breakups. Truth is, the more fully developed one's center of judgment is, the easier it will be to navigate the rigors of marriage. Also, before you take on the responsibility of another human being, you should be able to provide for yourself and have some stability of your own.
So what I'm hearing you say, Elaine, is that first of all, you want to make sure that the prefrontal cortex of your brain is fully developed. And we read someplace some time ago that the prefrontal cortex of the brain, which is where your center of judgment is, and you need a lot of judgment when you're about to get married is not fully developed until age 25. So if you can take some time and just make sure that your center of judgment is developed, you'll do a lot better than if you are still not quite there just yet.
Yeah, you know, the other thing is that, as you're saying, the whole notion of the brain developing, but also social development, yes. Right? You know, at age 22, you're still forming your identity. And in fact, social scientific researchers and developmental psychologists now call it delayed adolescence,
yes.
Or emerging adults. And so there's still some development that we're going through. And it's really difficult to enter into marriage when you are going through these processes. I know emotionally you feel ready to be with someone, but taking on the responsibility of marriage is really huge. Now, we got married at a pretty early age ourselves.
Yes.
But seriously, things were a little different back then,
and
right? And the level of maturity was a little more different, and we were in different places, I think, in our lives. Not to justify it. I think it did make it a little difficult for us.
Well, I was already 25, so.
You were 25, but yeah. That's still, you know, that's yeah. Still, that's still pretty young. I was 22. And I would honestly say that while we've had a great marriage, you kind of have to grow up while you're married. So we're not saying that if you get married at 22, your marriage is going to fail. There are many people who've gotten married early and their marriage has succeeded. But what we're saying is, just based on the research, it is a lot better for you developmentally, psychologically, economically, socially, to wait until after age 25 for so many reasons. Again, this viewer mentioned that he's just finishing college. She has two more years
to go.
I haven't heard anything about full-time jobs. I haven't heard anything. I mean, we don't know, but
right.
I imagine that those things still need to be worked out. So it's really a lot better if people are better prepared.
That's right.
When they go into marriage.
Also, more important than age right now, however, is getting to know well the young woman you've referenced. For starters, you're getting ready to graduate, and she has at least 2 more years to complete school after you do. We hope you value her and her future enough to allow her to finish her university degree. We also know too many couples who were so in love when they met that the woman was not allowed to complete her schooling before marriage, adversely affecting her future. If this woman is the one for you, it will not hurt you to wait until she finishes her degree. What we often like to say to young adults is, you know, there's no rush, and marriage does not solve any problems. It only compounds them. So take your time, allow the other person to finish college, give yourself some time to get into your job. If you've just graduated, make sure that you are able to buy a car, perhaps, if you need to get to work, or if you have a nice apartment that you've been able to rent. Establish yourself. If you give yourself those 2 extra years until she graduates, you might do much better than if you try to push it now.
Yeah, and the longer and better you know someone before marriage, the more likely you will be to have a happy and satisfying marriage. Taking time to ask the right questions, as we've said already on this program, will give you a clearer picture of what your strengths and growth areas are. Too many people, hear me out, folks. Too many people are shocked, dismayed, and even feel deceived when they discover the answers to questions that were never asked prior to marriage. I know, I hear you saying, but what if I offend my partner? What if they ask me the same questions? It just all seems so unromantic. And that's a large part of it.
That is a large part of
it. It's not even so much that people are necessarily afraid. They just think it takes the romance out of it. And we've heard so many people say that to us.
That is
true. You know, it just sounds so unromantic to do that. It sort of pops the balloon.
It becomes a damper. It's a wet towel on the whole situation.
Yeah, because it's so much more fun to throw a party and
take
put
pictures.
It on Instagram or Facebook or I guess now Snapchat. And that's all so much more fun. But we have to get to know each other. You know, we often share the fact with couples when they come to us that we also do marriage counseling.
That's right.
And the things that we're speaking about are specifically based on what we see couples experiencing after marriage. And it doesn't take long. Doesn't take long for the marriage to begin to fall apart and deteriorate. So it really is important that you get to know each other.
So romance is nice, but it's not what makes for a stable and satisfying marriage. When people meet and fall in love, and I like to say, don't fall, you might break something or hurt yourself. Walk into love. They experience an emotional high. Actually, it's literally a chemical high. Feelings of attraction are manifested when hormones called neurotransmitters, adrenaline, dopamine, and serotonin naturally produced by the body are dumped into the limbic system of the brain, making a person feel euphoric. Of course, after every high, there's a natural low. So give yourself enough time to get to know each other, to ask enough questions, and keep God at the center of your plans. And remember, love is patient. Love is kind.
When we come back from a short break, we will share more responses to your questions. Stay with us.
During our many years of counseling married couples, we have heard many people say, I feel like I'm married to a stranger. We're going to share a few tips of how to avoid being married to a stranger.
All right. So tip number one, don't get engaged to a stranger. This is why we say to dating couples that it's best to get pre-engagement counseling. I think we've said that a lot today. Get pre-engagement counseling before getting engaged. We're basically saying don't get engaged to a stranger. Many marriages fail or languish in distress because the couple never really knew each other. When should pre-engagement counseling take place? After you've spent some time in your relationship and you both agree that your relationship is ready to go to the next level, meaning it's showing some marriage potential. So what we're saying to couples is when you meet at the appropriate age, right? So we're really not talking about kids.
We're talking about teenagers.
About adults who are ready to take on adult life.
Yes. At least get into an adult relationship.
And get into an adult relationship. Yes. And you begin to think, you know, you're dating someone and you can tell that this person might be marriage material or that you're ready to be in a serious relationship with this person. That's the time that you should think about doing pre-engagement counseling. And again, as we said earlier, if you think the person that you're with is going to feel uncomfortable about doing something like this, that's a red flag.
That is a red flag, and it could tell you whether or not this is someone you want to move forward with. Number two, ask the right questions. We want you to ask the right questions, deep, probing questions. Ask them, even if it means you will have to endure the painful experience of a breakup. Guess what? It's even more painful to break an engagement or get a divorce. So asking the right questions won't guarantee that your marriage will be successful, but it will help you make a better and wiser decision before you get engaged. Also, some people feel they don't have the right to ask certain questions until they're deeper into the relationship. That's a fallacy. How would you really get deeper into the relationship without asking deep questions? So keep asking those questions. It's important to ask. It's important to not just spend the time gazing into each other's eyes. It's important that you get to the place where you recognize that you have the same outlook on life, the same worldview, that you believe in God the same way, that you want the same things out of life, that you find out if the other person is interested in having children, if you're interested in having children. We have spoken to so many married couples who are breaking up because one person wants to have a child and the other one never wanted to have children, but they never talked about it before they got engaged. and before they got married.
Yeah, and you know, I want to just add something there real quickly, and that is that people, we've heard people say, oh, we don't want to ask those questions right now because we're getting along so well.
Yes.
And if we ask those questions, then it might
put too much pressure on the relationship.
Yeah, and make us feel uncomfortable. Yeah. You really need to begin to feel that discomfort now. Number three, work on being the right mate. Now, we want to be clear that we're not talking about finding a perfect mate. There is no perfect person out there. Asking a lot of the right questions, however, will help you to find out things about yourself and what you're willing to give, what you're willing to accept, and what you're willing to live with. And to be sure, you should also ask yourself if you are the right fit for someone to marry.
You know, invariably, people are always talking about, this is the kind of person I'd like to marry. This is the kind of man. This is the kind of woman I'd like to marry. But how about, are you the right kind of man? Are you the right kind of woman that someone would want to be married to? Number four, stay out of bed. Attraction is a powerful force. And when those happy hormones like dopamine and serotonin and norepinephrine come together to form a love cocktail, you're led to believe that you can't live without this person. When you ask questions that seem unromantic, it will help you have a reality check. But it's hard to ask those questions from a bed. It's hard to ask those questions if you're overly involved physically when your minds have not yet fully engaged.
Number five, don't ignore the red flags. You know, when you're on the beach and you see that red flag go up, you don't go charging into the ocean. You stay away. Well, it's the same thing in your relationship. If something seems like a red flag, don't convince yourself it's not a big deal. Oh, it's not going to matter. Maybe, you know, sometimes people say, maybe I'm making too big of a deal of this. No, you're not making a big deal. Give yourself many opportunities to be around the other person and verify if what you saw was just a one-time incident or this is just their normal way of operating. Spend time with the other person's family and close circle of friends. See how they handle pressure situations. How flexible are they? Don't ignore the red flags.
Don't ignore the red flags. Number six, pray for God's leading. Of course, all of this is done within the context of praying and seeking God's will. If we're people of faith, if we are Christians, we want to know that marriage is to give honor and glory to God. It's not just for ourselves. It's not just for our satisfaction and happiness. It is to represent Christ to the world and to strengthen our families to represent Jesus Christ. Remember the wise counsel in the Bible that states, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous."
Thank you for watching Real Family Talk. Join us again when we'll share more about strengthening families and inspiring hope. See you next time.